For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello, welcome to episode 5 of the Monday Waffle. My name's Jake Batrick. With me in the studio this week is, it's back to Triple J. We've got Jesse Watkins and Jared Lawford. Boys, how are we going?
We're jolly good.
Pleasure Excellent. To be here, mate.
Beautiful. Now, fellas, we haven't heard this song, if not ever, all of us. But for Perth Demon fans, wouldn't have heard this for a while. Perth got up against Claremont, their first win in 18 games. They hadn't won a game since round 7 last year, and after halftime on the weekend, they came out and kicked 8-3 against the Claremont Tigers to record their first win in a bloody long time. So it was great to see from them. The game itself was awful.
Woeful.
Sloppy. Yeah.
I mean, both teams were winless before going into this game, and the skills were just horrendous. It wasn't windy, but there was an annoying breeze heading down to the northern end of the ground. So both teams struggled kicking into the wind, which, a lot of turnovers, a lot of poor disposals. But, Perth just ran over the top of them.
Struggling, yeah. I mean, Perth had the third quarter, the premiership quarter. So they finally put together a very comprehensive performance there.
Yeah.
Interesting that they chose this week to switch it on, I guess. Or did Claremont choose this week to switch off? I don't know.
On paper, Claremont won the last 6 games of last season. And then this year they haven't won a game.
Yeah. So I expect more from Claremont. I don't, however, expect more from Perth, unfortunately.
But I mean, the Waffle season so far has been very unpredictable. I mean, you just look at our tipping competition.
Mate, this was the round to knock yourself a 4, and
didn't happen. Let's head into the stats. Jesse, who played really well for Perth?
Well, in the first week that we've got a couple to choose from, so Brett Wolfenden, was the best on ground. I mean, the Perth website will tell you they've chosen Aiden Tropiano as their best on ground, but I think Brett Wolfenden was best. He had kicked 3 goals and 21 disposals, which is a pretty comprehensive game. Liam McKenna had 34 disposals. Didn't get to have a crack at the sticks, but 34 disposals is a pretty good effort. And then Aiden Tropiano had 25 disposals and 2 shots on goal, but 2 behinds. So he really done himself a disservice there. But still pretty good game. And let's be honest, Trops has been very consistent.
He has been.
He's been their one shining light the entire year so far.
Yeah.
So
he had 8 tackles though on the weekend. So that was equal best on ground. So I mean, he's obviously getting a lot of the footy, but he's also pressuring really well. As well, J-Rad, who played well for Claremont, if there was anyone?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If I was there too, Ruckman, Darcy Cameron and Mitchell Andrews, I wouldn't be happy if I was either one of those guys. They had 67 hit-outs between them, which is sensational for them. But, like you said, Jake, skills for the whole day were not pretty, even though they basically, every one of their hit-outs was just gift-wrapped straight down to their midfielders. 10 seconds later, it would be a turnover. So yeah, they had sensational games. Darcy Cameron, 2 goals, 32 hit-outs, and that's his first game for the year. So that's an incredible performance from him. Mitchell Andrews, the other ruckman, he had 35 hit-outs. So that's pretty much the only positive that Claremont can take away from this, although Jack Radshaw, he kicked 4 goals.
Yep.
Tom Ledger, 24 disposals. 23 of those were kicks, and he took 10 marks. So that's actually also pretty impressive. And the acting captain, Ryan Neitz, he had 25 disposals. So he took it up a notch as well. But it was a sloppy performance. It's, from both sides, like you said, every 10 or 15 seconds, it was just a turnover. The disposals were poor. It wasn't pretty to watch, but it was good to see Perth get over the line for their first win for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, Claremont dominated the ruck. As you said, they had 67 hit-outs between the two ruckmen, whereas the Perth ruckman, what's his name? Benny Power, only had the 19 hit-outs. So
yeah, he got mutilated.
Yeah, I mean, so usually when you're playing footy, the ruckman who gets first hands on it throughout the game, usually their midfield will dictate
You know, generally, hey. But I mean, we've seen that with in the AFL as well, with Sandilands just does what he likes. But if your midfield's clever enough, they'll take possession for themselves. So
yeah, definitely,
it's doable.
Yeah,
yeah. And just going back to Jack Bradshaw, he kicked 4 goals on the weekend. He's now kicked 11 for the season. So if you're going to take Claremont supporters, don't be too disheartened. You can take something away from that. You've got a really nice bloke called Jack Bradshaw in the forward line who's kicking goals, and hopefully he'll kick a lot more for the rest of the season. But yeah, I mean, Perth fans just would be so stoked. And I was down there on the weekend, and it's at the showground. So when you're coming off the showgrounds, you've got to come up the limestone tiers and then walk across the bricks into the change rooms, and the Perth fans created a guard of honour for the players to walk through and were fist pumping and
just
clapping,
so happy,
just belting out the song. It was phenomenal. So yeah, I mean, hopefully Perth now don't drop off after this. They can continue this form on going into the coming rounds. But we'll have a look at what both teams have got coming up for the next week. It's Anzac rounds, so Claremont, well, it doesn't get much easier for them. They travel to Peel, which we'll get to a bit later in the show, but that's a tough road trip for them. And then Perth are hosting East Perth, which we'll get to East Perth again later, but East Perth will be disappointed. They dropped points against Peel.
Very much so. Yeah.
They got absolutely destroyed.
So looking ahead to next week for both teams, Perth hosting East Perth at Lathlane Park. Jared, I mean, it looks like there's only one victor here, but as this season's gone so far, you just don't bloody know. So who do you reckon's going to get the win?
Yeah, well, I say East Perth. I've still got faith in East Perth, even though they had a 23-point loss over the weekend. But even though Perth had their first win for a very long time, I'm still going East Perth on this one. Yeah, yep. I don't think one win is going to dictate my change of vote. No offence to Perth supporters.
Yeah. Jesse?
Yeah, I don't know what the vortex that this last weekend was, but it certainly flipped the tables a little bit on us. I think Perth will revert to their usual selves, unfortunately, and East Perth should revert to their usual selves, who are quite a consistent, very well-drilled football side, and I think they'll take care of them quite comfortably.
Yeah, look, I know Perth got the win, but the skills were just awful. I can't say that enough. It was one of the worst games of football I've seen in a long time, which, you know, it was exciting the last quarter, but yeah, East Perth are definitely going to be, they're going to be hungry this week. So I think East Perth will get the job done in a close game. I think Perth hosted South Freo early in the season and only lost by 10 points. So Perth have got it in them to put in a solid performance. Now they've got that win. Can they keep that winning feeling going? I'm not sure. So anyway, move to the next game. Claremont travel to Peel Thunder at Bendigo Bank Stadium in Mandurah. This game could be decided on whether who Peel have playing for them. I mean, Tendai Mazungu, we'll get to their game a bit later, but Tendai Mazungu could be pushing for a Dockers position next weekend. So we'll just have to wait and see, you know, what the teams look like. But on paper, you'd say Peel, surely, Jared?
Yeah, I'd say Peel. Yeah, it's another sort of tough one to look at. But, I mean, Claremont, you know, every now and then they look reasonably good, and same with Peel, but yeah, it's a tough one. I might I'm gonna go Peel on that one.
Yep. Jesse?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's on paper it looks pretty straight up and down. Claremont struggling massively this year, and Peel have been playing pretty well this past couple of weeks. However, in saying that, as soon as I choose Peel, they'll straight up and down lose.
Yep.
So they're my bogey side this year. But Peel, if you're listening, I'm going to pick you this week. I'm going to trust you. This is their last chance.
Last chance. Yeah, look, I think, Peel. Oh, God. See, I've got one tip right for the last couple of weeks. So whatever I say generally doesn't happen. So I don't know. I'm going to pick Peel. I'm going to pick Peel because on paper, I'm going to stick to my guns, but so it'll be interesting to see both those teams see what they can pull out of the bag next week.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
On the line now, joining us is Channel 7's own Mark Reddings. Mark, how's it going?
Yeah, good to speak to you after another big weekend of WAFL.
It was. It was an unbelievable weekend of waffle. It had upsets, thumpings, and just about everything else. I guess the only thing more surprising than the Demons winning a game was Peel travelling to Medibank and beating the Royals.
Yeah, you mentioned how tough it was with those four games. I managed to pick 0 out of 4, so my three tipping's taken a bit of a hit on the weekend. But yeah, those two results are great to see Perth get on the board, albeit at the expense of Claremont. So their first victory for the season, which takes them off the bottom of the table. So we were at Medibank Stadium to watch Peel take on East Perth. Peel's first quarter was poor. They looked as if they couldn't find a way inside 50 to score goals. And at one stage, inaccuracy really haunted them, and they looked like they could be belted by East Perth, but they worked their way into the game, and some of their AFL-listed players, including Tendai Mazungu, very good, Lockie Weller, Connor Blakely, all started to get plenty of the footy, and by three-quarter time, they'd grabbed the lead and certainly turned the game on its head, and in the end, won out 23-point winners, running away from East Perth, which was a real surprise. But what it does do is sets up Neil for a real shot at playing finals for the first time. They won 3 games in a row now, which is a fantastic achievement for the first time in the club's history. So congratulations to Cam Shepherd and the Chargers.
Yeah, you mentioned Mazungu. He had 27 touches and 9 tackles. He's looking in great form at the moment. But is there room for him in the Dockers' side at the moment? Because they're going really well.
Well, that's the thing. I actually bumped into him today at Channel 7, and he said I might have to play another game at Peel. So that's the strength of Fremantle at the moment. Tendai is very much a part of their long-term plans at the Dockers. But, yeah, it might be another week or two that he has to bide his time, depending on form and injuries at Fremantle. They were terrific, of course, on the weekend, Fremantle. So it'd be hard to see him finding his way into that side immediately. Maybe Ross Lyon would like a match-up with Mazungu against the Sydney player, potentially this Saturday. But, yes, he was one of their better players, and Peel, as I said, really benefited from some of their AFL-listed Dockers coming back.
And one of the shining lights for East Perth, or has been for the last few weeks, is Brant College. He's averaging 30 touches and more than a goal a game this season so far. I know he's young, but could he provide a bit of a spark for the Eagles going forward this year?
Absolutely. 6'3", moves really well. As you said, getting 30-plus touches in his last few games at WAFL level. And he'll be very much under-noticed by Adam Simpson. Wouldn't be surprised if he makes a trip up to Brisbane this week to take on the Lions. The Eagles midfield, again, looks a little bit suspect. So, look, he still has some developing to do, but he can only pick up those sorts of numbers at waffle level to impress the coach, and I'm sure he's done that. Can kick a goal, as you said, which is important for a midfielder. He's a big body, and he might just be what the Eagles need to help them cover some of those bases that have been deficient in the first couple of weeks. Not last week against Carlton, but certainly in week one and week three.
And finally, Mark, who's in action on Channel 7 this weekend in the waffle?
We have the big game between East Fremantle and South Fremantle. It's on the Monday, on the Anzac Day Monday holiday at Fremantle Oval. The Bulldogs and the Sharks, traditional rivals, should be absolute cracker because South Fremantle are coming off a bad loss to Subi, and East Fremantle, a good win over Swan Districts.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, that one. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure. Have a great day.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
The other game over the weekend was East Fremantle versus Swan Districts. The Sharks prevailed 16-7, 103 over the Swans, 10-12, 72. It was just a dominant display by East Freo. They kicked 10-5 in the first three quarters, and then an 11-goal final term from both sides. The Sharks kicked 6 to the Swans, 5. So it was a dominant display by the Sharks. A 10-goal straight second half, I think, was the main talking point of the game. It was, you know, the Sharks were so accurate in front of goal, it just kept the Swans out of the game for pretty much the whole game. So, Jesse, who were the movers and shakers for the Sharks?
The Sharks, my top three. I'm going to give you a top four, actually. I'm going to sneak in. He wasn't okay. In the top. But George Hampson, the big man up front, he was one of the best. But kick 5 goals, but kick 5 goals, 4. So Hillroo, that's a bit of a missed opportunity. But he's done very well. He's a former premiership player for Subi, so good get there for the Sharks. Brad Dalziel, 2 goals, 21 disposals. Very solid game from him. And Liam Anthony, the man from North Melbourne. 31 touches, 26 of those were kicks. So he gets his disposals, useful ones. 14 marks as well, and a goal. So that's probably his best game for the season so far. And, yeah, very influential he was on the day. And then just a little one on the back end was Brandon Ellis kicking two goals and only had six disposals, though. So his efficiency is right up there, mate.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Ellis is an interesting one. He kicked five goals against Subiaco in that loss a few weeks ago. But, yeah, touching on what we talked about last week with the Sharks, Captain Rory O'Brien had a decent game, 24 disposals, 11 kicks, 13 handballs. But as we said, when East Frio get those other contributors to the game, they're going to win.
Mm.
You know, Rory O'Brien had had a good game last week and no one else really stood up and they lost. So it's good to see finally for the Sharks that those other guys can stand up as well and help out and obviously get a win. So there you go. Not rocket science, is it?
No, they can do things. They just need a solid team effort.
Exactly. Now, J-Rad, who were... Swans will be disappointed. They could have been a lot closer in this game, but not to be. Who were the main contributors for them?
Yeah, well, their midfield was basically shut down. East Fremantle were just playing keepy off in the midfield. I mean, Ryan Davis with 23 disposals, Matt Riggio with 22 disposals, and Adam Faulkner with 25 disposals. They were the only three players for the Swannies who managed to get over 20 disposals. But Rudy Riddoch, he kicked four goals, so he had a pretty good display. Their midfield just wasn't busy though. East Fremantle, they just they took it up a notch.
Mm.
You know, they really did look good. And other than that, there's nothing really spectacular in the stats, I guess, that you could look at for the Swan Districts.
Yeah. Now looking ahead to next week, East Frio versus South Frio in the Frio Derby. Both teams are 3-2, sitting in equal second spots. So, that game's gonna have a lot of feeling. Guys, who do we reckon is going to get the chocolates in that one?
The only reason I'm going to tip South Fremantle in this one is because it's their home ground.
Yep.
I can't split it just between these two. They're both 3-2. And it will be close, but yeah, I think South Fremantle by nose.
Yep, by nose. Jesse?
I think I'm going to go with South Fremantle just purely because East Fremantle's season so far has been typified by inconsistency.
Mm.
And I think South Fremantle at home, East Fremantle had a good game this week, so might have a bit of an average one next week. I reckon South's.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure with this one, guys. It's probably a flip a coin, really. These both teams are, you know, obviously 3-2. I haven't really seen a lot of the Bulldogs this season. So, gee, it's tough. It's very tough. I'm going to go with South Frio purely based on Jared's reason. It's their home game. Interesting. It'll be an interesting game. Now, that game's on the Monday as well. So, if you're looking to get along to that one, that's on the Monday at 4:45. So, the twilight game, that one. So, the Swan Districts travel up to HBF Arena to face West Perth. West Perth had the bye this weekend. So, you know, some people say that a team is usually flat after a week off. I know that was definitely the case in the AFL last year. But Swan Districts will be disappointed. They should have done a lot better against the Sharks this week. So I'm going to go West Perth purely on the basis that they were very disappointing and should have beaten Subi 2 weeks ago. Jesse, who's your pick?
Yeah, I mean, they're both coming up. West Perth coming off the bye, but had the loss the week before that, which they could have won against Subi. So they'll be ruining that. Swanee's coming off a very disappointing week as well. I think West Perth, hard to say whether a team's going to be flat or up for it after the bye.
Yeah.
But West Perth at home, both coming off a loss. I think it's very important for West Perth at this stage of their season.
Jared?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go West Perth on this one as well. Like you said, some teams are very flat when they've had a week off. Depending on the type of rehab and recovery that West Perth do, they could come back feeling fresh. They could do really well. They're both 2-2 in regards to West Perth and Swan Districts, so it is very close. Their percentage isn't, you know, far off each other either. But yeah, I do think West Perth will get over the line in this one. Yep. But yeah, it is going to be another cracking game.
Mm. It's been a good year of football. I mean, shocking for tipping, but the games this year have just been...
Except for that Claremont-Perth one over the weekend.
Well,
just a blip on the radar, that one.
It was
one.
A blip, but I mean, it was close. And yeah. that's
exciting football, that that's one was.
Exactly. That's all we can ask for from the Waffle.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
Round 5 of Waffle action was underway on Saturday afternoon at Fremantle Oval. Subiaco and South Freo were fighting over top spot on the ladder, but it was the reigning premiers who hammered the Bulldogs, winning 24-13-157 to 10-8-68. Both teams started slowly in the warm conditions, but it was Subiaco's James Garcia who broke the deadlock with a goal at the 8-minute mark of the first quarter. The two teams went on to play out an exciting first quarter with 4 goals apiece, but it was all Lions prowess from there on. The Lions kicked 20 goals to 6 over the final 3 quarters to improve to a 4-1 record of the season. They now sit a game clear on top of the ladder and certainly show that the gap between them and the Bulldogs is significant. Their forward line was unstoppable. Brad Stevenson kicked 6 goals, having never previously kicked more than 3 in a match. Reece Waters also heated up in the first half, kicking 4 goals. Shane Yaron returned from suspension and kicked 6 goals to now give him a remarkable 19 in 4 matches this season. Brett Robinson and Chris Phelan racked up an impressive 30 possessions. Leith Kitchen and Brett Mahoney snagged 22, whilst Hayden Kennedy and Simon Moore managed a solid 21 touches for the game. Leading goal kickers from South Fremantle were Ben Saunders and Corey DeLolio. Saunders kicked 3 goals and DeLolio chipped in with 2 majors. Ashton Hams gathered 29 possessions for the Bulldogs, Brendan Verrier collected 26, and Tim Kelly and Jared Parry both had 22 touches. Brock Higgins finished with 43 hitouts. This was Josephine McDonald reporting for the Monday Waffle.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Right, fellas, this for us, this is the most fun segment.
Yeah, this is a complete laugh, really, isn't it?
It's the most nightmarish section of the whole podcast.
It's a roller coaster of emotions. For me, it's not so fun. I'm still on the bottom. But, I mean, this season of Waffle has been fantastic in the sense that the whole way through, it's been unpredictable, which has been fantastic. But for tipping, it's been terrible.
Right, it's untippable, I think.
It is untippable. I scored one this week, one last week, and probably one the week before.
Well, you should note, though, mate, that one this week was the highest score. So you top scored.
Yeah. It was. We'll just run through what everyone got this week. I got one. Jared got one. Jesse got one. Josh got one.
Homer Simpson, I remember when one of the episodes says, the biggest mistake you made was trying it all. Mark Foreman is a believer in that philosophical quote. He didn't put his tips in and he's got 4.
He got 4.
The mosquito
just snuck his way in. He's got 4. Because he didn't tip, he gets all the away teams and every away team this week won. So Mark jumps from dead last to second without even trying.
Mate, it's ridiculous.
Absolute moron. Anyway, so he's on 9.
I'm going to slap that boy purple.
Poor old Josie got 0 this week. So
she's just sending a text as well asking that the other teams can, that Mark can get 0 because he didn't put his tips in. So she's been fairly vocal in her disapproval.
I'm going to appoint myself adjudicator and it's hilarious that Mark got 4.
Yeah.
Even though he
absolutely
didn't try. So sorry, Josie. Mark still gets 4. I mean, that's what you would get if you forget to tip in normal tipping competition.
Fair is fair,
away teams. Anyway, so to the tipping ladder, Josh is still on top on 10 points. Mark, God bless him, moves up to 9. He's in second, equal second with Nicole, who's left us.
Yep.
She's snuck down to Bunbury and got a job at the ABC, so good luck to her. But anyway, she's still going to keep involved with tipping. So she's on 9 in equal second with Mark. You boys, Jesse and Jared, in equal third on 8 points, so it's still close.
Oh, we're not that far from the top.
Yeah, just
couple of points in it. Claire, now we all forgot Claire was on the show last week and and thought she didn't tip, so we awarded her 4, which would have seen her go top. But then Jesse had a brainwave and remembered that she actually, was on the show.
Those are rare, by the way, those brainwaves.
So. Yeah. So Claire actually got 1 point. So she is second last on 7.
Yeah, because she's almost pulled the Houdini and taken a 4-pointer there for the non-tipping.
Exactly right. Poor old Josie doesn't move. She's on 6 points still. And then there's me on one. I got one this week, so I'm on six as well. So
now you're equal bottom with Josie. So exactly. Making moves down there, mate.
I'm not dead last now. I'm equal last. So, boys, thanks again for another wicked show. Absolute pleasure to have you on. Now, for all those people looking to get out to the footy this weekend, it's not all on Saturday. It's the Anzac round. So I'll run through the fixtures again for you. You've got East Perth and Perth at Lathlane Park on Saturday. That one is at 2:15, the traditional time. Then on the Sunday, we've got Peel Thunder hosting Claremont at Bendigo Bank Stadium on the Sunday. That's also at 2:15. And then on the Monday, we've got West Perth hosting Swan District at HBF Arena in Joondalup. That's at 4:15 on the Monday. And then the Frio Derby at Fremantle Oval. That game is at 4:45 on the Monday. So the twilight game there. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week on the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.